You are Locked On Ravens, your daily podcast on the Baltimore Ravens, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another episode of the Locked On Ravens podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Stevens. You can catch me on Twitter at @MatthewS_NFL, and I'm joined by Jacob Troxel.
What's going on, man? Good to be here.
Excellent, excellent. You can go ahead and catch him at Trox3 on Twitter as well. We've got a good show to you for you today. Obviously, we've got some breaking news from earlier this morning in Kamale Correa got traded to the Tennessee Titans. We'll talk a little about that. We'll also talk about, you know, what some other possible trades are as the Ravens get down to their 53-man roster, as well as preseason length. You know, is it kind of needed to be four games? Should we maybe switch it to two or three? And kind of what our thoughts are on that, especially as injuries start to kind of pile up for the Ravens and the rest of the NFL. Today's sponsors are DraftKings and Hims. You'll be hearing a little bit about them later on. But let's first go ahead and talk about Kamale Correa. He was traded to the Tennessee Titans, so he'll join defensive coordinator Dean Pease back in Tennessee this time in exchange for a sixth-round pick in the 2019 NFL Draft. Jacob, what do you think this kind of does for the LB chart?
Well, it just provides them a little bit of extra space, and I know we're going to talk about this in a little bit, but we could see a little bit more of that. I mean, they do have a lot of guys. It's going to be tough for them to trim down this roster of 53. So I think it just provides a little bit more clarity. You know, you do have guys like Tim Williams, Darius Smith, obviously Terrell Suggs on the other side, but Matt Judon, Tyus Bowser, ahead of him on the depth chart. Didn't look like they were going to, Correa was going to pass either of those two guys. So a good move for the Ravens to get a draft pick back in 2019, because going back to last year and this year, they've traded a couple of the picks in that draft. They gave away that second round pick to move up to get Lamar Jackson, and traded their seventh round pick to the Jags last year. So getting a sixth round pick back, obviously the Ravens have used some sixth round picks recently that have worked out pretty well for them. So really, I think it's just trying to retool that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, Ozzie Newsome obviously is his kind of final year, but you know, Ozzie Newsome and Eric DaCosta, the new general manager following this year, both those guys have been kind of known as pick hoarders. They're guys that go ahead and grab a bunch of draft picks and then make moves where they need to. And we'll talk a little bit more about, you know, some moves that could be made. But realistically, you know, they're looking to go ahead and move up and maybe grab somebody, you know, in the draft in the sixth round, or even maybe turn that sixth round pick into a player for this year if they're not exactly positive on, you know, maybe the offensive line, for instance. I know we've kind of talked a little bit about that in the past. So certainly some positives there from a draft pick standpoint. Obviously, I'm going to echo exactly what you said. Correa wasn't going to make this roster. It was very, very unlikely that he was. You know, you had Matthew Judon, Terrell Suggs. Those guys were obviously the starters. But then behind them were Tim Williams, who's had an excellent preseason, all preseason long. Guys shown up in every single game. You know, Za'Darius Smith, who's shown up in the last few in a big way, as well as that kind of veteran presence that Baltimore likes to have in their, you know, in their linebacking core, as well as Tyus Bowser, who, you know, hasn't necessarily panned out quite yet, but this is his second season, and Baltimore tends to give those guys a little bit of time. Correa not exactly getting the same treatment on that as a former 2016 draft pick. So, yeah, I mean, I think this was an obvious move. Correa was going to get cut, so why not try to get something in return for him? I can't blame anybody for that. I've seen some people complain about the pick, though. Jacob, to touch on that real quick, do you think a six-round pick, I mean, do you think Baltimore got fleeced for him, or do you think, you know, they got really all they could out of Correa in this trade?
I think maybe a fifth-round pick was going to be the most you were going to get. I mean, Correa has looked good in the preseason. You know, the Hall of Fame game, he had three sacks, two in the first half. So, but again, that was the Hall of Fame game, not obviously not a lot of starters playing in that game. So he's shown some good signs in the last game, was pretty good in pass rush. So, you know, it's kind of, you kind of have to take a little bit of it. You know, it's the preseason. So he's not going to be, you know, earning himself back, you know, that second round pick status that he was selected at in 2016. I mean, you know, this is a Ravens defense that is very good and has a lot of depth. So obviously some of these backups are more valuable to other teams. And I think that's fair. And Tyus Bowser being a second round pick from last year, going back to what you said, just having a little bit more patience with him, being that he was drafted a year more recently than Correa was, that second round in 2016. So a little bit more patience with Bowser, who's also looked good. So I think a sixth round pick is fair. And I don't think the Ravens are too worried about, like you said, they just want to stockpile picks. They're very good at, they did that this year. And that's why they have the good fortune of picking between like a billion different wide receivers. So, so that certainly has worked out for them this year.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I'll agree with you on this one in terms of the sixth round pick. I think everyone knew Baltimore was going to get rid of Correa. He just didn't make sense in the lineup. Baltimore typically keeps five outside linebackers through the season. The five guys I've mentioned are Suggs, Judon, Tim Williams, Za'Darius Smith, and Tyus Bowser. I can't see any point in which Correa makes the team over those five guys. And again, Baltimore just doesn't keep six typically, especially if there's talk about trying to keep three quarterbacks. That's got to come from somewhere. So you certainly aren't going to keep an extra guy at outside linebacker. He played well in that first preseason game, like you mentioned. Obviously, it being a Hall of Fame game against Chicago's depth players as well. You know, take a certain grain of salt when it comes to his performance there, and he hasn't really managed to kind of flash in the same way at all through the rest of this preseason. And now there's four games on tape. It makes sense that Baltimore kind of shed it their weakest guy in that unit, and then got something for him. So I think the rest of the NFL it's one of those deals, and you're going to see a lot of sixth, seventh round trades in the next few days, as teams just kind of secure the rights to guys. They don't want to try to compete for waivers for them. So it's about what I think I would have expected. And anyone that's trying to get a second round status out of a guy who hasn't really been able to stay on the field through a bad play, it's just probably unrealistic.
Yeah, and just running through some of the sixth round picks that, and some of these guys coming from this year too, the Ravens have had some good success with Deshaun Elliott, Greg Sanat, Bradley Bozeman, all in this most recent draft here. Chuck Clark last year, even though Keenan Reynolds isn't still on the team, he's on the practice squad in San Diego trying to make the team. So, you know, still in the league. Going back to 2013, Ryan Jensen, Tyrod Taylor. So they've had some success in the sixth round. They've been able to find some value picks there.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And as we kind of talk, our next few episodes will probably dipping into the 53-man roster on the offense and defense a little bit. But, you know, look for the Ravens to maybe try to translate that sixth-round pick into a trade within their team for an offensive lineman somewhere. You know, Baltimore's offensive line hasn't exactly looked fantastic this preseason. So don't be too shocked there if you see something kind of come out from that. But let's go ahead and talk a little bit about the Locked On NFL podcast. Locked On NFL has become the Locked On NFL of experts. Matt Williamson hosts Locked On NFL and has a brand new lineup. So every Monday, you're going to get the Locked On's local experts on the biggest stories. And then on Wednesday, you're going to get Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus. Thursday is going to be ESPN's amazing Mike Sando. So make sure you follow Locked On NFL on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts to get this amazing content. Really good stuff from those guys over there.
Yeah, and real quick, just before we want to get into this next segment here, I do want to mention later on, we're going to be talking about the preseason length, because I know that was a little bit of news there today about what Jerry Jones had to say. So we're going to talk about that in a second. And forgot to throw my own Twitter handle in there in the intro. You can find me at Trox3. That's TROX3. Always forgetting about that. So I got to throw that in there.
And definitely. And then you can also catch me on Twitter as well at Matthew S @Ozzie_NFL. And obviously, if you're listening to us now, make sure you subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. You can go ahead and catch us 5 days a week, every single week, talking about the Baltimore Ravens, the latest news, the analysis, what's coming up in the next coming weeks. And obviously, as we dip into the regular season, some really good content that will be coming out of here starting very soon. Actually, even now, we're putting out pretty good content now, actually.
Yeah.
And don't want to sell us short.
Speaking of good content. So just staying on the topic of trades for now, I want to ask you, Matthew, what other positions do you think, if the Ravens do look to make trades here, maybe before or after the game against the Redskins Thursday, what other positions do you think you could see them moving a player for, maybe another draft pick or something?
So what players that the Ravens can go ahead and kind of drop in an effort to get some more trade equity?
Yeah,
I think obviously the biggest value guy is going to be Robert Griffin III. Baltimore is not entirely sold on keeping three quarterbacks at this point. And if you're another team, and we saw it with Los Angeles Rams and their terrible depth, Robert Griffin looking real nice if you're them and you're looking to try to go ahead and make it to the postseason and deep into the postseason. If you need a backup quarterback for Jared Goff, Robert Griffin looked real nice when you saw him and he played against you for a few practices and a game. Beyond that, it's a lot of defensive stuff, just like we kind of saw with Correa. I'm a big fan of Bronson Cafusi and Carl Davis kind of being on that trading block as well. Both those guys, just same thing with happened with Korea, not enough spots on this roster in order to go ahead and make this team. So you start dropping some guys who you're probably going to cut, see if you can't get a fifth, sixth, seventh round pick out of them, conditional or something like that, and try to translate some maybe failed draft picks from the past into some positive stuff moving forward. How about you, Jacob?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the only position I think, I'm obviously Robert Griffin is a guy who is going to be on an NFL roster, regardless of whether it's with the Ravens or somebody else, whether it's via trade or free agency, whatever happens, he's proven that he's capable of playing as a backup quarterback in the NFL in the preseason. So he's going to be somewhere, just don't know where it's going to be. I think wide receiver, maybe if one of these guys maybe has a good performance against the Redskins, and it also depends on how many wide receivers they keep. Like maybe if they only keep maybe Perryman and Tim White, maybe another team is looking at Jordan Lasley as a sixth round pick next year or something. Or maybe another team, maybe Grant has a good game return wise and they keep one guy or the other and they want to trade the other returner they're not going to use. So there's a little bit of depth there. Maybe you could get a sixth or seventh round pick out of one of those guys. But you're right. Robert Griffin definitely has the most value. And overall, I mean, this, I know we were talking about it earlier, but the defense has so many different pieces that, I think maybe even Deshaun Elliott, if he were healthy, maybe you could try to trade him. I just don't know how he was going to make the roster with so many other, not that he's not talented enough, but man, this Ravens defense is very strong depth wise. So I don't think there's anyone other than Robert Griffin that they could get a sixth or seventh, more than a sixth or seventh round pick. And the closer we get to it, I don't know why this is, but I just feel like the Ravens are going to trade him. I it's a total gut feeling because they just haven't kept a third quarterback in so long. It's been since 2009. And
yeah,
I don't know. This is just a gut feeling. I don't know if it's actually going to happen or not, but start shipping out newspapers with this on the headline or anything, but they definitely could get something for him. So it'll be interesting to see what they do.
Yeah. I mean, I think like you mentioned, Griffin's going to be in an NFL uniform sometime this year, whether it's Baltimore or another team. The guy is, and he has shown the ability to be, I think, that stopgap quarterback. If you're a team, Sam Bradford's playing in the NFL and he's starting, You know, if Bradford can go ahead and get a starting gig, Robert Griffin should as well, especially after kind of what we've seen out of him this preseason overall. He's more poised. He's making better decisions. Certainly he's mobile and can go ahead and buy some things, some time for his offense. If his offensive line isn't up to par, which, you know, most teams, if they have a stopgap quarterback, don't have an all-star offensive line sitting in front of them. So one guy I know you and I kind of tossed out ahead of time is punter kicker Carr Vedvik. You know, I saw earlier today that teams were apparently, reportedly, eyeing Vedvik up. They're seeing what Baltimore is going to go ahead and do with him, because a lot of teams are maybe interested in having that strong-legged, pretty accurate guy who can do both punting and kicking duties. You know, in today's NFL, this wasn't the case maybe a decade ago, but in today's NFL, a lot of teams have seen what a bad kicker can do to a good team. You know, you don't want to go ahead and necessarily, you don't want to pull a Buccaneers and draft a guy in like the fourth round, but you certainly don't want to, you know, leave your entire season up to a Cundiff, as the Ravens have done in the past. So, you know, do you think that the Ravens could get anything out of Vedvik if they maybe kind of held him up and said, man, maybe we'll keep him?
Well, I think, and this is what Adam Schefter mentioned in the report, was Vedvik has been, you know, more impressive than Will Lutz, who was with the Ravens last year, and then he went to the Saints. So there definitely is value in that, and the fact that he can do both kicking and punting is pretty remarkable, that he's so well, has done so well at both. So there's definitely some value there. Like I said, I don't know if you could get more than like a sixth or seventh round pick for him. But that's also something I'm kind of surprised we haven't seen. You know, and I've never played the position, obviously, kicker or punter at any type of level before. But with as much like player safety and, you know, tough decisions that some of these teams have to go through, I'm surprised we don't see more of just one guy absorb both the kicking and punting duties for teams. And I know Pat McAfee, going back to when he retired, the old Colts punter, he said there were times where before he retired, his legs were just so sore from practice. And I don't know what the daily stress and workouts are like for kickers and punters, but it'd be interesting to hear, you know, maybe if we could, you know, hear from some of these guys in the NFL what that daily kind of grind is like, and if that is possible for some guys. If it is possible, I would think someone on the younger side, like Vedvik, could do it. So just something to kind of watch. And I know we're going to talk a little bit about 53 man rosters here in the preseason shortly, but yeah, I definitely think he can help somebody out.
Yeah, I think it's worth noting, obviously, you said that he's better than Will Lutz. Vedvik has gone toe-to-toe with Justin Tucker this offseason.
Oh, absolutely.
It's worth noting, Vedvik has hit 5 of his 6 field goal attempts this preseason. Tucker has gone 0-for-4 from 50 yards and beyond. So right now, Vedvik, just if you're going tit-for-tat, Vedvik's actually beating out Tucker. Now, of course, Tucker's not going anywhere. I don't want to give anyone the impression that Vedvik's going to win the job. But it's also worth noting that, you know, Vedvik has punted 14 times this preseason, had an average of 48 yards. He's downed 5 of those 14 punts in the 20-yard within the 20-yard line as well. And Sam Cook, his average has been 1 punt in 7 attempts this preseason. We're downed in the 20-yard line. So, again, Vedvik's keeping up with 2 Pro Bowl-talented kickers in Sam Cook and Justin Tucker. For a lot of teams, there's value there. It's worth to see, you know, maybe the Ravens can get something out of him, just as we mentioned before, from a team that doesn't want to try to fight through the waiver wire and risk not getting Vedvik on their team if they need a kicker.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if other teams are looking at this guy and they're like, look, this is the guy we want. We don't want to have to wait and just try to get him, you know, once he's available. We want to, you know, be a little proactive here. I think it makes sense to throw out a late round draft pick.
Well, let's go ahead and talk a little about college real quick, or excuse me, fantasy football, not college at all. It's crunch time for fantasy football, and Locked On is delivering. Locked On has a brand new fantasy football show called the Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7. Fantasy Football 24/7 will give you the latest trends, the hottest roster moves, and where to get the advantage. Plus, Ethan Turner, the injury expert, gives you the edge. Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 is here to help you win your league. In this third segment, we're going to talk a little about the preseason length, and that's something that has been kind of a hot topic over the last handful of years as the players are kind of complaining about having to play as often, especially with the league maybe trying to push into a longer regular season. You can catch myself, though, if you want to hear all these opinions and more on Twitter. You can catch me at MatthewS_NFL, and you can catch Jacob Troxel at Trox3, T-R-O-X-3. So, yeah, preseason length, you know, 4 games, is that necessary anymore?
You know, I think we're going to get differing opinions from other general managers and players. And I'm sure this is something that we're going to hear a lot more of as we get, you know, this to be more of a discussion piece. But this seems like we have talked about it a little bit every year, and it seems like it gets more and more traction as we get closer to the next collective bargaining agreement, that should we have 4 games? Do we need 4 games in the preseason? You know, I think, and the reason I specifically wanted to bring this up on this podcast was because the Ravens have played four preseason games already. They're about to play their fifth. And I don't think, and this is just me, I'm not an NFL GM or anything, so take this for what it's worth, but I don't know if 5 games are really necessary for most teams. I don't know that most teams need that many games to evaluate like 6 or 7, let's say, draft picks on top of what they already have, you figure, with their starting roster. Now, the Ravens this season have, I think, benefited from it because they drafted 12 guys in the draft. And, you know, like I mentioned earlier, 3 of those guys were in the 6th round. So you want to see what you have and you want to give them a lot of reps, and you're trying to figure out who your backup quarterback is going to be. So all of that has been valuable to them, but I don't know how you're going to shorten the preseason. Cause this is what Jerry Jones threw out there, was 18 regular season games and 2 preseason games. Now, first, I want to look at the preseason game. There's 2 preseason games that really, there are a couple concerns, and feel free to stop me and jump in at any point.
Yeah.
on some of these things. But the first concern I have with 2 preseason games is, what kind of reps are your starters getting, your first units? Are they going to look, are they going to look clean? Are they going to look sharp when they come out in the regular season? Because you hear guys talk about a lot, like, oh, especially quarterbacks. Oh, you know, I went through and kind of took that first hit, and it, you know, it felt good. It felt good to get in a rhythm and see the game full speed and everything. Now, if you only do that maybe one time with the first team offense, I think there might be some concerns about what the product is going to look like week 1, just because you might have you know, some new guys, offensive linemen shifting around, wide receivers working with quarterbacks. So that's the first concern. The second concern is, I don't know how much time these NFL GMs need to look at all the talent they have drafted. So that's another concern with the 2 preseason games. Do you have enough time? Even if you do have enough time, you know, maybe, or if you don't have enough time, maybe can you supplement that with, you know, a joint practice or something? We heard Harbaugh talk about in the preseason, well, each of these guys took 30 to 40 snaps in 2 joint practices. So that's why they didn't play last week. So there's a lot of different things going on with that. So before I get into the 18 regular season games to piggyback, yeah, off that, I want to go to you and hear what you're kind of thinking about what Jerry Jones said and how we should kind of look at the preseason.
Well, I mean, I think the league and the owners have pushed the idea of an 18 game regular season for years now. Obviously, it's certainly money motivated, and for a lot of fans, I mean, no one's going to show up to this Washington Redskins game, let's be honest. You know, I've seen it thrown out there. I think it was by Bo Smolka that mentioned, the idea of maybe trying to give these final this final preseason game away, you know, a good portion of the tickets away to, you know, some charity leagues or you know, young kids who aren't going to be able to get to a football game. That's kind of where you're at with this fourth preseason game. So, of course, the league wants to turn that into a profitable center by a bunch of people that are going to come in there, buy jerseys, they're going to go ahead and buy hot dogs and beer and stuff like that. Of course, that makes sense. So I get where Jerry Jones is coming from. And from a fan perspective, I certainly understand it as well. I'd like to see a team go ahead and play a little bit longer. From a player standpoint, and from a coaching standpoint, I can see where it's a headache. And you know, I think if we change this to a shorter preseason, three or two games, I think that's when you're going to start seeing a lot of what Baltimore did this year, which is teams are going to practice with other teams. You're going to turn them into, you know, glorified scrimmage games before you play your scrimmage game. In an effort to get guys, you know, more starting snaps, in an effort to get guys out there a little bit longer. So that's, I think that's where the kind of killer is for a lot of the stuff is that. I also think, you know, John Harbaugh has this philosophy of 20-20-20. 20 snaps for the starters, three games. If you do that, you get to 60 snaps, which is generally speaking about what a normal game is. 60 to 70 snaps is pretty normal for a starting offense and a starting defense. If you switch it down to two games, obviously that's now going to jump up to 30 and 30, which means 30 and 30 snaps for your entire backup squad. That means, you know, overall, roughly about 70 players are going to all of a sudden try to situate your roster on 30 snaps, 60 snaps total all over the entire preseason. That's just not really doable. So I think if we're going to do this, and I'm cool with it, you then have to get rid of the 53-man roster and change it to a much larger number. You need to be able to keep more guys for a longer period of time in order to develop them further, in order to really see what they've got, and in order to, you know, keep guys healthy, as we kind of will mention here shortly, I'm sure. A longer preseason means more injuries. Guys are going harder. Guys are going longer. They're getting more wear and tear on their bodies as they actually put in real effort for more real games that really matter. I need more backups. I need more guys that I can rely on to be able to go ahead and play. So, right. You know, we'll see that stuff happen as long as the league is willing to go ahead and pony up more money for more players.
And another thing too, with the preseason, forgetting about what the regular season would look like. If you are, cause you mentioned, you know, practices, if you're having, let's say, two preseason games, but you're also having like two full joint practices, you know, if your players are getting those reps anyway, it almost feels to me like, why don't you, and I know, you know, a lot of times these joint practices are done with the team that you do the preseason game with. That's generally the idea. But like, if you're using that as reps, then why don't you just televise it, kind of thing? You know what I mean? Like, why don't you just hold off on that practice with that team and do a third preseason game and televise it and get a little more money for it? Because I know the preseason is not like the Super Bowl. It's going to bring in a billion people, but you're still putting it on, you know, the occasional game on ESPN. So, you know, whatever it is, it's going to make more money than a joint practice. And then getting to the roster size, I think that, you know, that's a great point. And this is something that, you know, when I was covering the Redskins last year, Trent Williams said, you know, one of the toughest things our team, some of the guys on this team are ever going to do is play three games in 2 weeks because they had a Sunday game, a Thursday game, and then another Thursday game the week after that. So they had three games in a very short amount of time. And, you know, if you're going to have 18 regular season games, you're also going to have Thursday night football. It feels like you have to not only expand the rosters, but maybe throw in an extra bye week. You know, you have to make this a little bit easier on the players. And I know, obviously, a bye week is not going to, you know, lessen the number of, for example, hits to the head you're going to take in 18 games. That's, I mean, you're putting yourself out there more, obviously. But, you know, the injury risk is going to be there. But if you get an extra bye week in there, you're able to at least give players rest and possibly help out other injuries. You don't want guys playing hurt and things like that. And it's still very surprising to me that with all the talk about player safety, we have 53-man rosters that are cut down to 46, I believe it is, right, on game day. There's 7 inactives. So you have 46 guys on a, you know, dressing for a game, which, I mean, first off, just looking at the quarterback position, most teams, even if you carry three quarterbacks, let's say the Ravens keep Robert Griffin and Lamar Jackson this year behind Flacco, I highly, highly doubt they're going to dress all three of them for a regular season game. So, for example, if Flacco, and I'm sure there's specific examples of this with other players, but if Flacco takes a hit to the head and he's got his bell rung a little bit, and this could be any quarterback, I'm just using Flacco as an example, you know, he knows that there's only one guy behind him to go in the game. So if you want guys to be fair in how they go through the concussion process, I think it's only fair to have, you know, a sustainable amount of backups behind them. And that goes for all positions, not just the quarterback. I don't want, you know, obviously we like the game of football and we want it to continue, right? But we want also these guys to, in order to have that, we want these guys to have options when it comes to those types of things. We want there to be, you know, backups and measurements that can prevent them from them feeling like they have to play. Because if I'm Flacco and I get hit, and then I know there's, Robert Griffin's the only guy behind me. If he gets, you know, dinged up a little bit, who the heck is playing quarterback? So that's another concern. And I think maybe if you go to 18 games, you have to expand. Maybe you do 55 roster spots with 50 actives during a game. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how they kind of validate 18 games if they do decide to go that way in the future.
Well, I think to touch on this real quick before we go ahead and close out the show, you know, you mentioned that there's short weeks. For a league that wants to pretend that the shorter preseason is also for player safety, quote unquote, you know, the Ravens playing 5 preseason games. They had a longer training camp. That's more snaps. That's more time. That's more hits. And then in addition to that, August 20th, they play the Indianapolis Colts. August 25th, the Miami Dolphins. And August 30th, the Washington Redskins. That's 2 games, 5 games away from the previous one. That's 2 short weeks. That's intense come the regular season. Doing that in the preseason when you're trying to get a bunch of these guys, you know, extra snaps and things aren't fully installed yet. You also have, let's be honest, you've got 4th stringers protecting other guys. You know, your 4th string offensive line is out there protecting Robert Griffin, let's just say. I don't think he's all that eager to get behind what Randon Chryselius and see if he can go ahead and save his career if Chryselius is a 4th string player and he's the difference between Griffin being on his back in 3 seconds or not. You know, that's dangerous stuff when you start talking about that. So I think if they're going to do it, the league just needs to come out and say, look, it's for money. I'm cool with that. We'll share some of the profits with the players. We'll expand the rosters. We'll expand the active day rosters. We'll expand the practice squad. We'll give teams more players. We'll give teams more time. We'll give guys a little bit more, maybe a little bit more training camp time without pads. You know, you got to do some of those things in order to kind of make a concession if you're going to push for 18 games. And by all accounts, we keep hearing players say, I'm fine with that, but you're going to have to get up off the wallet a little bit. Things are going to have to change. And that seems to be where the big disconnect is between owners and players, is in owners don't want to pay anybody any more money for it.
Yeah, and I think something, I don't remember where I saw it this morning, but I think the 18 game schedule would possibly include an extra, I think it was an average of $500,000 per player, something like that. And I know the players do get a slight average increase in pay for Thursday night games being part of the schedule. So that would definitely be tied into this. So I'm glad, you know, you brought that up to be clear. You know, this is not something where the owners are going to just collect 2 games of revenue. Obviously this is going to be shared, and the players will get paid more, and that salary cap will will keep going up and up and up.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. You know, I think it'll eventually happen. It's just a matter of when, what concessions are players going to have to make, and what concessions are owners going to have to make. But it will eventually happen. There's too much money to not make it happen, if we're being honest. And this league is all about generating revenue. You know, that's they're a business. That's we keep hearing about it with player contracts and stuff like that. This is a business. Everybody wants to make more money. It's just a matter of figuring out how to do that as safely as humanly possible.
So last question before we wrap it up here,
yeah.
Would you change the postseason at all with an 18 game schedule?
I don't know. I mean, I think
putting you on the spot.
Yeah. I think we'd have to see how the regular season went and where's the disparity in terms of where a team's breaking off. You know, obviously I think if we're at an 18 game season, having, you know, a nine and nine team make the playoffs,
yeah,
when everybody yeah. else is at 11, 12, 13 wins, you're just not going to get the quality there. So I think you have to kind of go the first season, just see what happens. See if the larger rosters really do help teams, kind of that parity aspect, if that comes up, or if we kind of have what we have now, which is there's the haves and the haves nots.
Yeah. I'm surprised that, Jerry Jones said 18 games instead of he just jumped right over 17. Like, forget about that. No, we're going to 18. Making an even 18. So,
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see what, you know, if other owners or players or GMs kind of chime in, you know, now and throughout the rest of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And as for fans, I mean, you guys out there listening, toss your ideas at us. I mean, you know, we certainly aren't in the way of being able to make decisions for the league. I mean, that would be great if I got paid that type of money to make decisions for the NFL. But, you know, toss us your stuff. I'm Matthew_NFL on Twitter. Jacob over here is at Trox3, TROX3. Shout us out. You know, hit us up and let us know kind of what your thoughts are. What are the difference in terms of, you know, the preseason, maybe shortening that down. Do you think it should be 17 games, 18 games? Do you think they should just scrap the preseason altogether and go straight to 20 regular season games? You know, hit us up with what your thoughts are and how to make that happen on Twitter. Again, Matthew_NFL and Jacob Troxel is at Trox, TROX3. Other than that, I think our next show is going to be talking a little about Ravens versus Redskins. Obviously, that game's happening Thursday. And then we're going to be breaking down our offensive 53-man roster tomorrow. So a lot of really good stuff here as the Ravens start to kind of settle down into their final cuts before the regular season. We're going to be talking a lot more about that 53-man roster and who do we kind of see making it and not making it. But thanks again for joining me, Jacob. I appreciate it. I think a great show tonight and some really good stuff for a lot of fans to kind of dig into.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to Thursday. Get to see, even though it is the fifth preseason game, getting a little tired, but you know, ready to see some of the last possible plays and talents that some of these players are trying to make the last cut of the roster. It'll be good to see.
Absolutely. All right, guys. We'll catch us again on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Other than that, check us out on Twitter at the Twitter addresses we've mentioned before. Thanks very much, and catch us again every 5 days a week during the week for the entire season as we talk Locked On Ravens football.